Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. And welcome to ABC. And good morning. Isn't it a glorious day when we're in Jesus? It doesn't matter what's going on around us. It doesn't matter what the weather is. It doesn't matter what the news of the day is. When we're in Jesus, in that secret place of the Most High God, we're where we're supposed to be, and we're in that glorious state where nothing and nobody can bother us, that we keep our eyes fixed on our Jesus, and that's the place to be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ooh. So, welcome everybody to this teaching on the second step in prosperity, the second step of God's system of prosperity. God's system of prosperity, the only way, the only system that works. When you work God's word works. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that God has a plan for us, and it's an awesome plan, a wonderful plan, and we want to get in line with what his will is for us. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So, let me begin by telling you about a little church in Southern California. The pastor was a simple man, a praise and worship leader, who was also a tither and a giver. So as pastor of this small congregation of approximately 100 people, he taught what he knew and understood from the Word of God. Praise and worship and tithes and offerings, God's system of prosperity. We've heard Pastor James say that ABC is focusing on financial prosperity as we are all teaching on the subject week after week after week. This pastor taught all about praise and worship and tithes and offerings week after week after week after month after year, until the tithes and offerings grew. So guess what? Because he was teaching on this, and because they were absorbing this and the Word of God was becoming a part of them, they began prospering more and more, until all of the tithes from the small congregation ended up totaling $1 million in 1 year. Isn't that awesome? I just think, wow, that's pretty amazing. But that's God's system of prosperity. It's not about how many people giving how much money. It's those that are hooked into God's way of doing it, so God can bless them. Bless the people, bless the pastor, bless the church. Wow, that's pretty exciting. Wouldn't you agree? Now, Pastor James also said something some years ago, which has stuck with me all this time. The way we bankrupt the devil. Anybody here want to bankrupt the devil? We'd love to put him down and under, right? Okay, so the way we do that is how? For us to tithe on all of our income and give generous offerings on a regular basis, subject to the 30, 60, and 100-fold return, and we continue to tithe, and we continue to give generous offerings over and over on the increased income, and then the increase keeps increasing, and our tithes keep increasing, and our offerings keep increasing, and sooner or later, guess what? The devil is hurting for money. Why? Because God's kids and the kingdom of God have it all. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that the way God would want it? My goodness, that is just pretty exciting. So I ask you a very important question. Does God want us prosperous? You know, we all raise our hands and go, yeah, we want to be prosperous, but does God want us prosperous? Well, let's take a look at his word and see what he has to say about it. We'll begin with Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. This is God speaking. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And if he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, how much more in the prosperity of his children? Let's turn to Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Psalm 112, verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Psalm 115, verses 14 and 15. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And 3 John 2, this is a very familiar scripture. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And you know what you should do with this verse? Not just to affirm it, but personalize it. Put your name in there. This is God speaking. Put your name in so God is speaking directly to you. So let me give you an example with me using my name. Beloved Sarah, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wow. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. And here we see God's heart in the matter in both the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. So the walk of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And in God's system of prosperity, that first step is, we all know it, ready? Get set? What? The tithe! That's it! Yay! Okay, in both grad school and some of the regular meetings, we've taught through the years on tithing, the tithe being the first 10% of all of our income, that tithe that belongs to God. In all of Scripture, God warns us not to try nor test him in anything except in the area of finances. So giving to God the tithe as he's laying out for us, to me, that is the test. Giving the tithe is the test, with God rewarding our faith and obedience by opening the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing so great that there's not room enough to receive it, as is detailed in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Even with such great promises and assurances from God himself, many and perhaps most Christians are struggling financially. Statistics show that fewer than 10% of Christians tithe, and we don't even know if they're tithing correctly, the scriptural way, per Deuteronomy 26. Those who are disobedient to God's way are simply tying God's hands and preventing him from helping them. Makes God very, very sad, because he wants to bless us. But we have to open that door. For those who are obedient to tithe and to tithe correctly, God is pleased with their faith and obedience. And God is able to bless them richly. So there are those who have taken that first step, that bold first step into tithing. But unfortunately, there are people that then stop there. You figure, okay, we're tithing, yay, we're doing it God's way. But they are receiving the blessing of the tithers, but wait. It's going to sound like one of those advertisements, but you know what? It is, because God's saying there's much more, much, much more over and above the tithe. Wow. That's such a rich blessing. You can't even quite imagine that there could be more, but God says yes. And that much, much more comes from implementing God's second step of prosperity, which is offerings over and above the tithe. Not instead of the tithe, not in place of the tithe, but over and above the tithe. So let's take a look at these words, offering and to offer. I'll start with a reference study called Hebrew Honey. It's a word study of the Old Testament, looking at Hebrew words in the Old Testament. The word to offer is, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, karab, Q-A-R-A-B. To cause to come near or cause to approach, a sacrifice, oneself, or an offering to the Lord. In Leviticus chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, it says, ye shall offer at your own will. In other words, a free will offering. When we turn to a familiar Webster's Dictionary, and the word offering is something offered, of course, but specifically a gift or contribution, a presentation in worship, an oblation. Well, if you're like me, you don't use the word oblation every day, so I looked that up. And that means an offering of a sacrifice, thanksgiving, etc., to God. The thing or things offered, especially, this is important, especially the bread and wine of the Eucharist or of communion. So, what is God's view of offerings? We see numerous references in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers to all the various types of offerings that God set up and required of his people. Different types for different purposes, with different specifications of all the details of what, when, and how offerings were to be presented to God. God was very precise and very clear, and as always, he was looking for obedience so he could bless his people, because God has never been a hard taskmaster. He's always been a loving father. So let's take a look at Zondervan Pictorial Bible Dictionary. This book gave us some very wonderful information about the various types of offerings, what they are and how they work. And so we'll just do a quick overview here, because remembering that God is very specific and very precise and has very specific offerings for very specific purposes. God is a detail-oriented God, and it's important for us to know and follow his detail. So offerings in general are the need for purification from sin, or the desire of the worshiper to enter into fellowship with God. And this underlays the prescription regarding the various kinds of offerings. We'll begin with the sin offerings, first mentioned at the consecration of Aaron in Exodus 29, verse 10. This was a special expiatory sacrifice. Expiate means to make amends or reparation for wrongdoing or guilt, to atone for, to pay the penalty of. The law of the sin offering, which is mentioned in Leviticus 4, 1 through 35, Leviticus 6, 24 through 30, etc., This law of the sin offering provided four acts of unconscious transgression, mistakes, or other inadvertencies. So while cognizance was taken of offering circumstances and classes of offenders, no atonement could be made for deliberate rebellion against the covenant and its provisions. That's a no-no, and that was stated in Numbers 15:30. 1 Samuel 15:23 made it very clear that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and this is not acceptable to God at all. So we'll move on to the trespass offering or the guilt offering from Leviticus chapter 5, 14 through chapter 6, verse 7. Again, the trespass or guilt offering signified expiation again and restitution and availed for inadvertent offenses, false swearing, and improper dealing with neighbors. We move on to peace offering, symbolized right spiritual relations with God, and this was among the earliest of the sacrificial offerings, the peace offering, as shown in Leviticus 3, verses 1 through 17. The meal offering or meat offerings were instituted when Aaron and his sons were consecrated in Exodus 29:41. Drink offerings or libations were common in the patriarchal period of Genesis 28:18 and Genesis 35:14. And these drink offerings accompanied many of the sacrifices. So there wouldn't necessarily be just one type, but there might be two or more used together at the same time. Now here's one that's really interesting and very significant. This is in the Old Covenant, but it is foreshadowing the New Covenant. This was the wave offering or the heave offering in Exodus 29, verses 24 through 28. This is associated with the peace offering, but it's called the wave or the heave offering. And both the priest and the worshiper would take this wave offering, and the movement was back and forth and up and down, back and forth and up and down. What do you see? The sign of the cross, right? So this is how it's foreshadowing into the New Testament, the coming of Jesus Christ that would become our ultimate offering. So all offerings were related directly to the covenantal religion, the basic principle of which was obedience. We keep coming back to obedience. Each sacrifice was a reminder of human depravity and of the divine provision for the helpless sinner. And here's a key phrase. Without obedience and faith, however, the offerings were valueless. Let me repeat that last sentence. It's so important. We need to really get that down on the inside of us. Without obedience and faith, the offerings were valueless, were worthless. So tithes and offerings must follow the letter of the law, but be given to God in the spirit of the law. In other words, with the right attitude and expectation. We're in partnership with God. Through all the years of ABC, we have taught partnership. God makes it very clear in His Word. We do our part and God will do His part. God gives promises with conditions. And when we fulfill those conditions, then God can fulfill His promise. They work together, hand in hand, partnership, working together as a team, God with us, us with God. So when God established the offerings, He had a particular purpose in mind for each one. Jesus, praise Jesus, Jesus became the sin sacrifice and was offered up to God on our behalf. So these types of offerings, especially with animal sacrifices, are no longer necessary. But notice I said these types of offerings are no longer necessary. I did not say that offerings are no longer necessary, because God instituted offerings per se as a way of life. God does not change per Malachi 3:6. Going to Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So, labor, working with your hands that you may have something to give. Here's an emphasis on giving, in other words, offerings. But let us read the entire verse together. If you have your Bibles handy or your Bible on your phone, you can turn to Ephesians 4:28. Because I want to read it together with you, and I'd like to share with you the common understanding of this verse and also a higher level of revelation knowledge that the Holy Spirit shared with me. Everybody ready? Ephesians 4:28. I will be reading from the New King James Version. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. So traditionally, we have understood this verse to say this: quit stealing from others, go out, get a job, and then use the proceeds of your labor to give to others. Let's take a quick look at Malachi 3:8 and read that. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God says, in tithes and offerings. We have robbed God in tithes and offerings. Notice it says tithes and offerings. Back to Ephesians 4:28 with a new slant. Okay, so one has a job. You don't have to go out and get the job. You have the job, and you're already working with your hands, and you're earning something to give, but you're not giving any offerings. You're not giving at all. So where it says work, so you have wherewithal to give. In other words, something to give. So don't keep it for yourself. Don't rob God. I recommend you take this and pray about it and see what God shows you. To me, either way, it's a powerful message. The Word of God always is, isn't it? So let's go next to Ecclesiastes 11:1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. In other words, give and give and expect a return, even if the return is not immediate and it is an unusual source. Let me give you an example. One day, some years ago, I was at the ocean, on the beach, just along the shore in the waters, just playing in the water there, watching the waves come up to shore, watching the waves come, and there's always one follows another, and all of a sudden my eyes caught hold of something in this wave coming toward me, and I blinked, and I looked again, and I leaned forward, and I thought, is it possible? And it's coming right at me. So I reached out my hands and grabbed it when it got to me. And yes, it was a dollar bill. Imagine that. The ocean was giving me a dollar bill on this wave coming in ashore. Wow, it was aiming right for me because I've sowed and sowed and sowed. And I was being patient. And here was a return on my giving, a very unusual source. I don't know if anybody else knows that or not, that if they've ever gotten anything out of the ocean in terms of money. But come to think of it, I realized the other day, as I was listening to the Word of God, that Jesus set a precedent when he sent Peter to go fish, and that first fish that he picked up opened the mouth, and there was a coin in the mouth of that fish. So there's another case where money came out of the water. Praise God. God is very resourceful and he's very creative, and we can just expect all kinds of wonderful results when we do it his way. So let's turn now to Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. There is one who scatters, yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. This is somebody who's a hoarder, somebody who's selfish, that they're keeping it for themselves. Verse 25 says, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Doesn't this sound a lot like, give and it shall be given unto you, from Luke 6:38? Give and it will be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. That means give to you personally, directly. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So we have some choices to make, some decisions. To give or not to give is a choice. How much to give is a choice. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. That we're giving out of joy. We're giving because it's a pleasure to give. It's wonderful to see when we give how people react and how blessed they are. And it's just, giving is really God's way. I mean, he set the example, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That was the biggest, best, most wonderful gift that's ever been given. And God gave us Jesus because of his love for us. And for us to walk in light of that example that's been set for us, how can we not walk in that same light to be givers as our God is a giver? So throughout both the Old and New Testament, God does encourage us to give, but he leaves it up to us because he wants our attitude and our actions to reflect our heart. So again, here are decisions: to give or not to give, to give a little or to give a lot, to give once in a while or to give at every opportunity. When we study the parable of the sower in Mark 4, we don't find any question about whether or not to sow, but rather the how, when, and where to sow, and what to expect. We need to find good ground, a church or ministry which understands God's system of prosperity and waters the tithes and offerings with prayer and affirmations of God's word over every penny. And you know that ABC is a ministry that does all of that. We've taught it all along. We do it all the time. So as we partner with God in obedience to his word, he's able to bless us with the promises of his word for our faith and obedience. When we do our part, we need to expect God to do his part. We've seen that the Old Testament offerings that God instituted all had very specific purposes. We might actually call that naming your seed. When a farmer plants a corn seed, what does he expect to reap but corn? When he plants a bean seed, of course he's looking for a harvest of beans. Genesis 1:12 says that plants yield seed according to their kind. So here's another kind of seed we could plant. It's money. When we plant money, we can expect to reap back money, 30, 60, or 100-fold on the return. Or we can name our seed by verbalizing exactly what harvest we expect for that offering to bring. Let me give you two examples. Some years ago, Apostle Joshua and I were traveling in different parts of the country and able to teach and preach in different churches. And so this was one of those times that we had taught, and we team teach when we do. He'll start, and then I'll do it, and then he'll come back and wind it up. And we had taught at this church, and a man came up to us afterwards, was so excited. We were teaching on prosperity, God's system of prosperity, and he had a desire in his heart. He wanted to open a woman's home for battered women. He wanted this to be a Christian, word-based home that could minister to these women who had been through such traumatic situations, and he wanted to be able to fund this. So he's starting from scratch. He goes, how do I go about this? So we said he should go about and find a home that was already in existence, that was exactly the kind of home that he was looking to establish. And he should sow financial seed into that, naming his seed to be his own home for battered women. He said, wonderful, I will do that. Approximately a year later, we were back at that same church again, and after the service again, he came running up to us. He was so excited. He says, I did what you told me to do. And he said, I now have my own home, and it's full up, and it's running well, and I'm just so blessed and so excited. Thank you for your guidance in showing me God's way of bringing this to pass. So by naming his seed, he was able to get a desire that I'm sure God put that desire in his heart. We know that God says he will bring the desires of your heart to pass. And in that case, was very obvious. Praise God. Okay, so here's example number two. We once had a couple, an ABC couple, wanting to bless us with a small TV, which at that time we could really use. We wanted to pray for the couple for a 100-fold return, but, you know, I don't think they could have used 100 televisions. I don't think they wanted 100 televisions. So we talked to them and said, okay, what would you like? What kind of seed would you like to name in return for what you are gifting us? And they said they could use a new computer. Okay, so we agreed with them that that would be the return on their gift, on their offering, that they would get a new computer. Well, this was arranged by telephone. So about a week later, then they came here, excitedly brought us out to the back of the car, opened the trunk, and ta-da, there was our TV, and next to our TV was their new computer. God had already brought the answer to their giving before they had physically followed through on the commitment to give us the television. So they were excited. We were excited for them. And this example actually brings to my mind the scripture in James 5:7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Amos 9:13, I think, is even more clear on this. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. As the time is speeding up in these last days, we're finding that sometimes the latter rain actually does precede the former rain. As with the TV, there was an intention and a commitment to give, and God blessed that even before the follow-through on the giving. So in God's system of prosperity, to review, the first step is tithing the 10% to God and The second step is giving offerings over and above the tithe. From a practical point of view, it would behoove us to be sure that we have money with us at all times, so we are prepared to give offerings whenever the opportunity arises. Matthew 25:29 says, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." Luke 19:26 basically says the same thing. "For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken away from him." A good way of ensuring that you always have money available to give is to keep what Joshua and I call money magnet in your wallet or in your purse. That is extra money that you keep with you at all times, not for spending, not for emergency, not for a rainy day, but for giving as the Holy Spirit directs you. Now, if you're new at doing a money magnet, what you want to do is, as everything else we say, start small. You could start with $1. This is an extra dollar that you keep in a special little place that you know is strictly your magnet money. When you have an opportunity to grow the magnet money, do so. And you keep growing it as you are able to do so. And one day the Lord's going to tell you, I want you to take that money and give that to so-and-so. And you're going to be prepared, ready to go, and obedient to the Lord, walking in faith, and joyous in giving. And watch the wonderful smile on the face of the person whom you bless. Praise God. So, sowing seed on every wave would be giving our offering for every service. And when we were having services in person, we'd have people that would bring offerings at every service. Now that we're online, the situation is a little different, and yet in another respect it's not. But we do have those who have already calculated at the beginning of the month how many services there are going to be throughout the month, and they will send an offering equivalent to that for each and every service. So it might be by mail, it might be by dropping off now as opposed to bringing in person, but that's still an opportunity for us to give on every wave, as the scripture says. And Zechariah 4:10 advises us not to despise small beginnings. So we start small, but you know what? When you start small and you work at God's system, God keeps increasing, and that's what we're excited about. If we have a special project, we can break it into smaller steps. We can have it be 10-fold faith, 30-fold faith, or 100-fold faith. And I'm going to give you a real-life example of 100-fold faith, again, of an ABC-er. This was in the day when we still had services live, and we had scheduled a guest speaker. And this particular ABC-er really wanted to give this guest speaker $500. But all they had to work with at that particular moment was $5. And so they decided to take that money and to sow it into good ground, the good ground of ABC. They sowed that $5, expecting 100-fold return on that $5. And they brought us into the understanding of what they were doing, and so we were able to agree with them. And Lord is faithful. By the time the guest speaker fulfilled his schedule to come here, guess what? The ABC-er had the $500 and joyously gave that $500 to the guest speaker. And because he sowed $500, guess what? He then reaped 100-fold return not long thereafter of $50,000. God's word works when you work God's word. God's way is not, you know, you could say God's way or the highway. Forget the highway. God's way is the only way. God's way is what he instituted for us, his kids. It's the way he wants us to follow. It's the way that we can untie his hands so he can bless us the way he wants to bless us. We don't go by the things of the world around us. We keep our eyes focused on our God, who's an amazing God, who can do anything, who's creative, who wants to bless us. We just need to do it his way. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And I'm reminded of the scripture that says, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Okay, again, faith, obedience, and patience. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 in the Amplified Classic. This is one of my favorite verses on God's financial system. And I love it in the Amplified because I think this kind of says it all. And this covers all bases. And this is God partnering with us as we partner with him. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid nor support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. You hear that word abundance come out there several times, and everything's all and every. This is God's way. This is exciting. This is what God wants to do for us, to be in that position where nothing holds us back. No one holds us back. We're able to give and to give and to give and to bless and to bless. And by the way, the word bless means to empower, to prosper. So we are blessed as we bless others. So it's a total win-win situation when we do it God's way. This is a wonderful goal for us to shoot for. Most importantly, we want to have a giving heart and to be looking for opportunities to give. Just keep asking the Holy Spirit, show me, Lord. Every morning you can say, show me somebody I can bless today, Lord. And be looking and be expecting and be ready. Give to God. Give with a willing, joyous heart and attitude. Give and it shall be, God's promise, given unto you. So, what do? We be living to give. You and I, let's be living to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hello again, all you joyous tithers and givers. ABC is blessed of the Lord. It is a ministry that God has founded, and it's all about his word and his Holy Spirit. We do things God's way around here. Amen? Amen. So, next what we want to do is partake of communion, which is an absolutely wonderful thing that Jesus has made available to us, his body and his blood, throughout as long as we need it. So praise the name of Jesus. Let's take a moment to confess any known sins or confess an unknown sins. The unknown sins prayer that we have taught you. So let's take a moment for that, and then we'll begin with communion. Thank you, Father, on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He said, take this, eat it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus, you are our Jehovah Rapha. For we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We are the healed of the Lord, and we boldly say so. So heaven, hell, and earth all hear us and know exactly where we stand, which is on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us so much that you took those 39 stripes upon your body, the 39 times that ugly, painful whip ripped at your body. You did that for us. Your great love said, yes, I don't want you having any connection with sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain, so I'm going to pay for all of it. You should have none of it. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Oh, my goodness. To be healed, to be healthy, to be whole. What a wonderful way for us to live our lives serving you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We recognize, we remember, and we say thank you. We rejoice in you, Jesus, as we now partake together of the broken body of Jesus to receive our healing and wholeness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. This do in remembrance of me. We thank you, Lord Jesus, your precious, life-giving, promise-giving blood washed away all of our sins and all the wages of sins, for if there's no sin, there's no wage of sin to be paid. We thank you for the covenants that have been sealed and established with your blood, promises that are available to us so we can be overcomers and victorious in Jesus. What a wonderful thing. You've provided everything we would ever need, Jesus. All we have to do is access, believe, and receive. And we do. Through your blood, we thank you and praise you, Lord. We receive your life-giving, promise-giving blood, even now, in great thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, and now, do we believe the scripture that tells us that we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus? Amen, we do. And you know, it's not just for one thing. Whatever your most outstanding challenge would be, sometimes we're tempted to just go after that one alone, and not all of them. But Jesus paid the price for everything. From now until literally eternity, he's paid the price for all sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain. So let's come together and say, Lord Jesus, we believe for healing in every aspect of our bodies, every cell, organ, system, function, from our crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, inside, outside, our bodies are the healed of the Lord. So, ready? Again, we say we because we reach out and cover all of us. All of us together are included in this prayer. We all pray for each other, which makes it even more powerful. Okay, ready? Get set. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.